2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let's go ahead and read in verse number 3, very familiar passage, obviously. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. When I think about faithful service, and you think about the stories and the things that you've heard from all these preachers this morning and what you've heard last night, you know what you find out is that the more you live the Christian life and the longer that you're in this thing, you realize that, man, for somebody to finish this thing right is a real accomplishment. Amen? Amen? We go through all kinds of things and there's all kinds of pitfalls and troubles that we face along the way, and there's issues that arise in our lives. And what we find out is that just to make it to the end and say, man, I did it. I finished. I stayed as best I could, as right with God as I could be. And I've made it to the end. That's something that's a great reward. That's why he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, I've been talking to some friends I haven't seen in a while, and you know, we're reminiscing on some guys we graduated with and some stories. And it's like, hey, where's so-and-so? And he's like, the head goes down and kind of go like that. And you're like, man, really? Really? Yes. And you know what? I mean, I know we're Bible believers, but if I could just, like, for a second, just level with, I know who's here this morning. Listen, we're in Exodus chapter 18 now. Listen, Moses has already exited Egypt. He's not there anymore. He's gone through the Red Sea, and we know that Egypt's a type of the world. And I can sit up here and preach on the devil, or I can sit up here and preach on the world and all the problems that are in the world, how easy it is to spot those out. And be careful with the world, because, hey, if you focus on the world and you get wrapped up in the world, you're just going to be a Demas. But guess what? In chapter 17, Moses, guess what? He's fighting Amalek. And we know what Amalek is. Amalek's the type of your flesh. He says you're going to have war with Amalek through all your generations. And that thing, and he needs help. And we know that when his hands are up, he's winning the battle. When his hands are down, he's losing the battle. And that, we know that that fight with the flesh, it goes up and it goes down, and the flesh bugs you. And that's never going away. That's never going to go away. But you know what? He's passed the fight with Amalek in 17. And Amalek's a type of the flesh, and Egypt's a type of the world. And you know what? There's somebody that comes in from a certain place in chapter 18 that if we were to finish that thing out, there's a man from Midian that comes in Exodus 18. And if there was ever, if we're doing typology here this morning for you guys that really want to get, you know, something, a little nugget to write in notes, that Midian, man, he's a type of the devil. And the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And you want to know something? It's maybe not the flesh that's going to be the thing that keeps you. We know that that's going up and down. And it may not be the world, but you want to know, I know something. That when Jethro comes to Moses in chapter 18, you know what he's after? He's not after his flesh. And he's not trying to drag him back to Egypt. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get in between his ears. And he's trying to occupy the gray matter inside of Moses' head. And he's starting to implant some things. And what you find out is sometimes we blame the devil for things the devil has no business in. And I've seen more people fall out of church, and I've seen more people not be faithful because of the thoughts that the devil has placed in their head, the lies that they have been told. And that's where Moses, he's about to be on another battlefield. He's about to embark on something. Listen, I know it's easy to be hard on people. It's really easy. I mean, from standing back at the 30,000 foot view, you can say, well, I could see that in that person before, and they're out, and I know that. I could identify that. Man, I saw that one thing that they did, and I saw that they were kind of prone to do that. And then they blow up, and you go, I kind of knew that was coming. You want to know something that all of us in here have in common? Is there some things and there's some thoughts that the devil places in your head and places in my head? And you're going to have to learn to wrestle with them thoughts. Because I'm not so much worried about the world getting here this morning. I know who I'm preaching to. Y'all came and you drove and you paid money to be here, and your pastors of churches and your preachers' kids and your faithful church members, you took time off of work to be here. I know who I'm preaching to this morning. You're very well aware of the world. And boy, I know all of us Bible readers, we're very well aware of our flesh. But man, sometimes the devil, boy, he has a way of getting in there and really making a mess of our brain. Really making a mess of the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about other people. You know what? I think if we were to liken Midian here, you know what? He comes. You just heard it preached from Brother Kenning. But he comes in, and if you look with me, if you will, he says in verse number 18, he says, "Thou shalt surely wear away." Doesn't that sound familiar to what the devil said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3? You know what happens? There's three places in Moses' ministry where Midian comes in and starts messing with the way people are thinking. The first one's here with Jethro. The second one is in Numbers 22, and I'm going to expound on these things, and then we'll wrap it up. In Exodus 32 with Balaam, Moabites come, and then they confer with the Midianites. And the Midianites come in, and they come in. You know what they say they come with? The rewards of divination. That's what they say they came to him with. And then he shows up again in Numbers chapter 25. And in Numbers chapter 25, you have a Midianitish woman. And you know what happens? He says that you've been beguiled through the wiles of the Midianites. You've been vexed by the Midianites there in the end of chapter 25. That's how you know Midian's the devil. And you want to know something? Over back in Exodus chapter 18, you want to know some of the thoughts that the devil plants in your head and the things you're going to have to wrestle with? Jethro comes to Moses, and he's just been in battle. He's just fighting the flesh, right? And now he's seated himself in a position that God's called him to be in, and people are coming to him and they're looking to him for counsel or need help. And you know what Jethro does? He comes in, and look with me if you will. He comes in there in verse number 5 of chapter 18. It says, "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness where he encamped at the Mount of God." Could I just paint a picture for you for just a second? Here's Moses. He's just come out of battle. Now he steps, for all intents and purposes, he's in the pulpit trying to minister to the people that God's given him to minister to, or the ministry that God's put him in to do. And then all of a sudden, Jethro comes in and says, "Hey, here's your kids. Here's your wife." And you know what? All of a sudden, he's looking around and he's like, "Man, I got to fight. I'm trying to fight the flesh. I got the ministry. I got all these people coming to me, and I got my wife, and I got to take care of my wife, and I got all my kids. And don't you know, I got to make sure I'm not a deadbeat dad. I got to take care of my kids." And you know what? He's overcome with responsibilities. And guess what? All of those things have to be done. And Jethro looks at him and says, "That's too difficult for you. You're overburdened. You're overworked. You can't do this. You need to make sure that you make this needs to be a little easier for you." And all of a sudden, Moses is like, "Well, it is kind of hard." And you know what? I hate it when the world comes to Christians and the world tries to tell Christians how Christianity is supposed to be lived. I can't stand that. You ever have somebody on the outside that look at your life and they go, "How in the world do you do that? You go to church every Sunday, you go to every Wednesday night, and you go to the special meeting, you're going to be there Jubilee, take off work, that's your vacation time. Why don't you go spend it with your family? Well, are your kids being neglected? And how could you possibly..." You ever see somebody like that? And they just put that thing on there, and you know what the world says? "You need to lighten up." Can I just give you a news flash for just a second? Did you ever think... Christianity is hard. Amen. Living a Christian life is not easy. It's difficult. And can I say this? It's supposed to be difficult. I'm not belittling the pressures that you have, but guess what? Moses, the Lord told Moses exactly what to do. He gave him instructions, and now Jethro's coming in saying, "Hey, you don't need to worry about that." Why in the world would I listen to them when God told me, and God's the one that put all this stuff in my life? Why would I worry about what the world tells me how to handle it? Some of you in here this morning, you know what you're trying? You're just trying to balance your life, your ministry, your family, your children. And I know this, it's not easy to do that. Amen. And I feel for you this morning. It's hard to do that. You know, the devil, that monkey gets on your back and says, man, you're being a deadbeat dad. Your wife's a mess. And you know what? You're not doing very good in the ministry because you're struggling with this. And you know what? He's just putting those thoughts. This is difficult. The difficulty of this thing. I can't take it. I can't take it. I can't take it. It's too much. Over in Numbers 22, I just want to give you a couple of things to think about. And then we'll wrap it up. But in Balaam, in Numbers 22, I know that you could preach everything you want to preach about Balaam, and he was, you know, a lost guy, and he's in hell, and you could say what you want about what he did. I can kind of relate with Balaam just a little bit. You know what he was? He's just a no-name, I guess, preacher, right? And he had a desire to be great. He just wanted to be great. He wanted to be noticed. He had a desire to do something great. And guess what? An opportunity came across his plate and they said, hey, guess what? They got these people over here. And if you could just kind of get in line with what we're trying to do, guess what? We'll make you great. We'll promote you. We'll have you come in and preach. Well, man, we'll tell everybody how good you are and we'll spread the word to our friends and we're going to make you great. And he's like, and he's wrestling in his mind. And he's got that thing in his stomach where he's like, I want to preach and I want to be a preacher and I want them to notice me. And I want to be the guy that preaches the main slots. And I want to be the guy that everybody looks to and comes to for advice and calls me at 3:00. I want to be that guy. And here's an opportunity for me to get it. And the devil, you know what happens? The devil comes in and says, you know, you're pretty inadequate the way you are. The inadequacies that you have, you know what? This is your opportunity to be great. You know what happens sometimes? The devil gets in our mind and he says, you know what? You're not good enough. You need to figure this thing out. Anybody in here ever sit, especially in a meeting like this, you sit down and you're like, Lord, please don't let me get in the pulpit. I cannot do what they're doing. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not capable. I don't have the skill. I don't have the ability. Yeah, I think that's maybe what Balaam was feeling, and now he's wrestling with those thoughts in his mind. He has a desire to go further and to be great, but yet, and he knows exactly what the right thing to say is, but his actions are doing something different because he wants to be noticed and he wants to be great. And so the devil has now occupied his mind and says, you know what, you're no good. You need to pursue this thing. And now he's getting in ahead of God and he's getting ahead of where he's supposed to be. And he keeps pressing it and he keeps pressing it and he keeps pressing it. And it ultimately ends in his demise. And now he's not there anymore. Now listen, I'm a farmer from upstate New York. We had a cow one time. She was giving birth and we had, you know, 99 head of cattle. She had calved and we had already delivered the calf, and then something very rarely happens. It's called she casts her wethers. Anybody ever heard that term before? Casting her wethers. Well, this cow, what happened is she gave birth to her calf. So the fruit that she was supposed to bring forth, she brought forth. But the problem was her body said it wasn't enough. And so her body continues to push and continues to push and continues to push until I'm out in this corridor outside of the barn, and this cow is laying down on her side, and she's literally pushed everything inside of her has now come outside of her. And I'm sitting there holding it in my arms like this and trying to put it in a trash bag because she literally can't stop pushing. Her body says you need to continue to go forward. You need to continue to do this. The fruit that we're trying to get out is not done yet, so you need to keep pushing. You know what ended up happening to that cow? She got bacterial infection. We tried to push everything back in, try to sew everything up, and she died of an infection 2-3 weeks later. You don't know what happens? That devil gets in your head and says, you're not what you should be. You're not what you're supposed to be. You could be more. You could do more. I mean, as Christians, listen, man, it's not that you need to do more. It's like, how good are you doing what the Lord's put in your hand to do? You know what? Maybe you've already got maybe you're doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do right now. And all those thoughts of your inadequacies that just plague your mind, maybe that's just the devil. That's just the devil. You need to quit pushing or you're going to hurt yourself. Man, it's not just thoughts of difficulty or thoughts of inadequacy. But in Numbers chapter 25, a Midianitish woman and an Israelite man, they go into the midst of the camp in front of everybody. And they start doing unspeakable acts in front of everybody. In front of Moses, in front of the entire camp. And one man steps up and runs and slays her through the belly. And you go, oh my goodness, what is that? You know what that tells us? It's a great accommodation for Phinehas, I agree. But it's an indictment on everybody else who's standing around. And now they're watching this going, it's just what they do nowadays. Look at how bad this is. Well, I don't know if I should say anything because I don't know how he was raised and how she was raised. So I don't know if I should interject myself here. Does that sound familiar? It's like, man, yeah, the world is so, this is just normal now. This is just normal behavior that we're going to have to get used to in the church. This is just the normal way that things are going. And so we have to cave into this. We have to allow ourselves to just partake and turn a blind eye. That's the devil. That's the devil trying to get you to get lockstep in what he wants you to do, and you become apathetic to what is bad and what is wrong and what God wants. There's no reason that we have to continually try to do what the world tells us to do to get people into the church. I know maybe you have a small work in here. Guess what? Those marketing ploys aren't going to help you. Bringing in the stuff that they're bringing is not going to help you. Caving into the pressure that is on you is not going to produce what you want it to produce. And so this man from Midian comes in and he puts a thought in your head and you say, what's the use of fighting anymore? That's just the old time way of doing things. You know what? We've probably got to keep up with the times. Probably got to get rid of our hymnal. That great hymn of the faith, they stopped producing it. You know that? They're not printing it anymore. You see? It's just not cost effective. You know what? That's the devil in your mind trying to get you out of this thing. And listen, I'm not worried about your flesh and I'm not worried about the world. I'm worried about what's going on in between your ears. Some of you in here, you're so hard on yourselves and you're hard on other people. And listen, don't you just know that we need to get through this thing to the end together? You're never told to fight the devil. You're just told to resist him. And you're told to be aware that he's roaming about and he's looking for you. And what you have to know is that this is the kind of stuff he's pulling. And he's in between your ears and he's got that monkey on your back. And you need to shake that monkey off your back or else guess what? The problem will be is when finally he tells you that lie long enough and in that moment of weakness and that dark night when you're by yourself and you're alone. And you say, and you thought when you were younger, I don't even know how anybody could quit. There ain't no quit in me. And all of a sudden, you've been wrestling with those thoughts and wrestling with those thoughts and wrestling with those thoughts. And then somebody comes up and ridicules your leadership. Or someone comes up and somebody you love and they stick that knife in your back and they twist it. And all of a sudden, there's that man from Midian. He comes up and says, yeah, what do you think about that? You go, yeah, well, if they thought they could do it any better, I guess I'd just let them do it. It happened to me in my kitchen. My wife was standing there. And all of a sudden it hit me. I said, oh, that's how people quit. That's how people quit. It's just that. He just keeps whispering that thing in your ear. You keep whispering that thing in your ear. And then all of a sudden, that moment of weakness, he knows right when he's stepping and says, yeah, you ain't no good. You can't preach like them. You're no better than your fathers. What are you doing here? You small town guy. Nobody knows you. What are you doing here? God didn't call you to do this. And you know what? It says, pack the bags, honey. We're done. That's how it comes. You know why you're here? That pressure that Moses had on him? you know what? I know what I need sometimes. Those, I'm bad about it. I'm in my head all the time. You know what sometimes I need? Just what Moses did. He got so frustrated. He got so bogged down with those things. He got to the place where he says, Lord, I can't go another step until I see a glimpse of you. Lord, I just need to see a little bit of you. I need to see a little bit of light, Lord. I need a little bit of that glimpse. I need to see a little bit of the glory. And I know that, guess what? Some of you here, that's why you're here this week. You're here this week because you've been feeling all those things that Moses has felt and all these things that those men have felt. And you know what you need this week? You know what you're starving for? You need the Lord to place a little cleft in the rock and just let him pass by and you can see him so that you can say, you know what, Lord? I can now resist those thoughts that are in my head. And Lord, I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell the devil to shut up, and I'm not quitting. Amen. I'm not quitting.